It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cone. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cone in 99, 27 up, 27 down. David Cone has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I was waiting for the beat to drop. I'm like, what's this? Like, how do I approach this? It made me think of, are you ready for some football? A Monday night party. I'm ready for some football. I know a lot of people are. Cam Nahum, Keith McPherson on The Fan, inside the 8 o'clock hour, 1 hour down, 4 hours to go. I mean, we opened up talking about the Mets, and I understand people are mad when pitchers get pulled and there's a plan in place, but you shouldn't overreact. You should know there's a plan in place, and then when the manager tells you so much after the game, you got to understand that that plan was in place and that they deal with what happens after. Right? They call up Eric Orsi. I'm like, I don't know what you guys expect. I mean, I guess you should expect better, but your bullpen is reeling right now. You have injuries. You have guys just coming back. Eric Orsi makes his MLB debut. He gets rocked. Welcome to the show. This is Major League Baseball. Those guys get paid over there too, you know? And with Christian Scott, he's young. He's been called up, sent back down. They were monitoring his innings in the minors, and I think he threw 99 pitches to start before, so they had a plan in place for that young man, and they're not looking at it like a must-win. They're not looking at it as, oh, let's give them some longer rope. It's no, this is the plan. And that is the way. That is the way of baseball today. I understand you being mad. Right. I know you might have wanted to see them get through the six or whatever. They didn't care. They didn't care. They're going to stick to their plans, stick to their guns. And I hope the Yankees don't stick to their plans, stick to their guns, because their same plans have continued to go awry every year. And, you know, I'm not going to get on air and tell you the Yankees will be fine. Because the expectation is not to be fine. The expectation is not to be fine, make the playoffs, lose in the first round, second round. The expectation is, okay, you're in a 15-year drought. Aaron Judge is playing out of his mind, gets player of the month, and you're still losing games. You lose 13 games in a month when this guy's going insane. Gerrit Cole is back. You gave up all of that for 1 year Juan Soto. This is supposed to be an all-in year. What happened to the winter? Oh, yeah, these guys showed up early. You know, these guys had a bad taste in their mouth about going 82-80. They said never again. Now, obviously, they're not going to go 82-80. I know what their record is. I know what type of baseball they just have to play to get to 100 wins the rest of the way, 90 wins the rest of the way, be a postseason team. But there's a standard of excellence, right? So when I have a caller call and talk about ghosts, those ghosts were used to winning. They were used to a standard of excellence. They were used to guys going out there and playing like they were playing for the New York Yankees, right? There's no names on the back of their jerseys because the Yankees are supposed to be so famous. Everyone knows who they are. And you have this national audience tuning in on Saturday on Fox and ESPN on Sunday, and they just watch you know, they watch Ben Rice go off and they watch a little back and forth on Saturday. You know, and the Yankees end up putting up 14, which, you know, it seems like they'll do that once a week. Like, you know, the Toronto game where, you know, Stroman called out Glaber and they went off for 16 runs. But, like, that's baseball, too. You're going to have some games where the other team's bullpen implodes and has nothing and they can't keep up with you and a kid goes on a historic three-day home run barrage. But I don't know. We've talked about firing Aaron Boone. I'm here to tell you they're not firing Aaron Boone. And I said this before this fall from grace, that no matter what happens, Aaron Boone is going to get another contract. And I believe that. I don't believe that they fire him. He's the guy for this team, the captain of this team, and this era of Yankees baseball. 888-808-1019. They're damn sure not firing Cashman. If there was a time to fire Cashman or Boone, it has already passed. We already had those opportunities. 82-80 missing the postseason, that's an opportunity. Even as we talk about the Boston Red Sox and how they get up for that rivalry, man, 2021 was an opportunity where Boone's contract was over, and you see what happened to them down the stretch. They won one game at home against Tampa, who had already had it locked up. They barely won that game. And that changed their fate from hosting the wild card game when it was still one wild card game to going to Fenway and losing that game. And it's good enough. It's good enough. It's fine. We made the postseason. It's fine. I'm not here to tell you it'll be fine because it's not fine. You know and I know what the expectation is, what the standard is, and how far they've fallen from it. They are playing like the worst team in baseball. Shout out to Dan Rourke. Dan Rourke put out a tweet on Yankees Avenue giving some love to year 7G, Giancarlo Stanton, his seventh year here. He said, it's 2024, and the fate of my baseball team seemingly relies on Giancarlo Stanton. They're 52-27 with him, 3-10 without. I saw another stat from Talking Yanks. The Yankees have not won any of their last seven series. They haven't won back-to-back games since June 11th, 12th. They're 6-16 in their last 22. Like, all of these things, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. All of these things point to a bad run baseball operation. So who you mad at? Call me up, man. Call me up and tell me who you mad at. Steve is in New Jersey. Steve, you're on the Fan.
Hey there, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. Let me talk for a minute or two before you cut me off, because I got cut off last time. I don't want that to happen. I'll tell you what, I'm going to wait for the next 15 to 20 games and then wait for them to lose all them and then wait for a win in between that, you know, and then wait another 15, 20 games. And that's the way this season's been going. And I was reading something in the Post, Sunday Post. It had an article in it about who the Mets should get as pitchers, as far as pitchers go. I think the Yanks might want to look at some of these guys. There's Dylan Floro from the Nationals, Buck Farmer, the Texas Rangers, Cincinnati Reds, Kirby Yates, and another National pitcher, Kyle Finnegan. Maybe the Yanks could go look at them and get one or two of these guys. You know, I think I'm going to chill with these Yanks because I have a little transistor radio I listen to the ball games on. And, you know, I expect them, this team is going to go down in history as not famous but infamous for losing. And I mean that because I've been a diehard Yankee fan my whole life. It's going to go down as infamous, you know. They're playing lousy baseball, and you were right about Giancarlo Stanton. They're just a better baseball team with him in the lineup. And not for nothing, but what happened to him, Keith?
Thanks for the call, Steve. He pulled up lame just trotting around third base, pulled his hamstring. He's shut down. He's working to come back. But, you know, the thing about Stanton is, don't want this happening twice in a season. And the other thing about Stanton is, how long is it going to take for him to get his timing back, his swing back, and be what he was to start this season when we were all pleased with what we saw after the weight loss and the body change and the motivation he had from Brian Cashman calling him out in the offseason. And, yeah, you know, going back to that, I remember being on air and talking about how
depending on how this season goes, those videos of Cashman are not going to age well, and they're not aging well right now. We got a long way to go, but those videos of Brian Cashman pointing his finger at everybody else, literally having an excuse for a Joey Gallo trade that nobody asked him about, talking about Sonny Gray going back so many years now, taking the defensive, even calling out Giancarlo Stanton saying getting hurt is part of his game. I guess that aged perfectly. That aged exactly how one might have thought. But, hey, Cash, it's on you, bro. It is on you again, right? Here comes the deadline of your late career. Here comes the deadline where you have to stand on business and prove everyone wrong. Talk is cheap. You got to shake this team up. And when I mean shake the team up, obviously you got to fill some holes, but you got to get somebody out of here that everybody thinks is safe to shake the room. So these guys wake up and realize it's all right in front of us until it's not. Scott in Northport. Scott, you're on the Fan.
Hey, man. Yeah, I've been listening to these callers. I don't know what the heck they're talking about, but you know, you kind of have it on the with the shake it up. But I would just blame it on Boone. I mean, this is the same thing for every year that he's coached. We'll get him next year. We'll get him next year. We'll get him next year. It's always the same exact thing. He's just so soft.
Yeah, and it's not even we'll get him next year. It is more of a light at the end of the tunnel. Always a light at the end of the tunnel. Always projecting into the future being better than what we're currently in, while we're saying stop the bleeding now. Do something right now.
Exactly. I mean, we have two of the best hitters in the game, and it's like we have the team. Yeah, we can make some moves, but I think we have enough good guys. I think the problem is everyone's so soft. The one guy I didn't even really want on the team, Stroman, he comes in, shows a bunch of fire, and then you got, like, I love Judge, but then you're out there protecting Torres. Like, get that guy out of here, Torres.
But see, that's the disconnect, Scott. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And Yankee fans killed Marcus Stroman for that. Not all of us, but Yankee fans, who's this guy? He just got here. And I'm like, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. He just got here. He doesn't want to lose like the Yankees have lost year after year after year going through the motions.
Exactly. We have the best players. We supposedly have, you know, the best pitcher. Yeah, he's taking a little while to get his stride. But we have the players. What's the same thing every year? It's Boone. We change the players up and down. We try to bring some guys in. The thing that's constant in this, you know, always underperforming is Boone.
But who put Boone in that spot? Boone never managed another team, so I can't even reference another team.
No, sure.
That, you know.
So if you want to bundle him with Cashman, that's fine too. Both of those guys need to go then.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks for the call, Scott. And I also, I hear you, but I also got to tell you, that's not going to happen. Hal is not going to fire Brian Cashman and or Aaron Boone, separate or together. Like they like who they have. They trust who they have. And they trust that this is just a funk. They trust that things will get better and that they have the power to trade for guys, to call guys up, and to figure this thing out, and that this is baseball and it just sucks right now. And we just got to keep showing up every day. But you know what? Showing up every day with the wrong mentality is just showing up every day. Right? And as I call Boone cool dad, like, it's tough for cool dad to just turn into an authoritarian. It's hard for him to discipline. It's hard for him, like, that's what I said. As we watch Boone take up for a Trent Grisham in the media, and even, you know, try and defend his players, I understand the front that he has to put on, and I understand how many of you are pointing to his, you know, saying the same thing about it's all in front of us. That's what he has to do. That's part of the job. That's part of the reason I believe he got the job. He was a TV guy. They plucked him right out of the ESPN Sunday Night Baseball booth, right out of the ESPN baseball crew. They took him from there, and they made him the manager. And you got to understand that teams mimic their managers. I've said this a ton of times. I use my little bit of experience working in a restaurant or my a lot of experience going to a restaurant. When you go to a restaurant and the service isn't right and something is off, or you ordered something and it comes out and that's not what you ordered, or something like there's consistently issues, start at the top. Who's running this operation? Start with the manager. If the manager doesn't care and isn't checking on everything, holding everyone accountable, that is contagious and spreads through the whole restaurant, the whole team. It's a reflection of who the messaging is coming from. And I, like I said, when it's easy, when you're winning, everybody can show up and just roll out there and say, we've got Juan Soto. We've got Aaron Judge. And we're pitching great. But when you get through the season and there's a book out on guys and your pitching isn't holding up and you have injuries in your bullpen and in your lineup, now you need to actually have the manager that's going to say, hey, we have another opportunity to play today. What happened to we play today, we win today, that's it. That's got to be a mentality that these guys have. They're in the perfect opportunity going back to Tampa. It's going to be majority Yankee fans down there. Tampa isn't good. You can't sweep Tampa as is. You're going back to your spring training home. So tap into the thoughts that you had going into February. The excitement that you had with guys coming into the building like a Marcus Stroman, like a Alex Verdugo, like a Juan Soto, first-time Yankees. Tap back into, nah, 82 and 80, that's not us. Not going to happen again. Tap back into the Yankees history that exists down there. I'm sure you'll hear it from some fans down there just in passing and in the ballpark. The Yankees go through this identity crisis every year. It's incredible. And that's why everyone's starting to point at the people that put it together. 888-808-1019. The people that are in charge. Because there's different guys here. Juan Soto wasn't a part of it in 2022. But we're feeling the same type of results. Aaron Judge wasn't the captain yet. Right? But now it's his fault too. Oh, he's got to get the clubhouse in order. There's only so much one guy can do, man. 888-808-1019. We got a break again. But all the calls are coming in, Yanks. I had a call that... The topic was 41-year-old quarterback. I was ready to blame everything on Aaron Rodgers. This is Aaron Rodgers' fault. Aaron Rodgers is the song that does it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah. Still here. Still taking calls about the New York Yankees. Keith McPherson on the Fan. And, yeah, I'll take all your calls. Let's get right back to it, man. We're talking about the consistent theme with these Yankees teams. Starting off hot and then coming back down to earth. And now everybody's pointing to the top because they're different players every year, right? They're different teams. Some of the same faces, but it's the same manager. Same general manager, resting on things like, oh, this guy's, you know, had a good offseason. He's going to turn it around. Or, oh, this guy's young, but he's ready. And, yeah, we're going to keep doing the same things and expecting different results. And, oh, yeah, this guy is hurt again, but we kind of had a plan in place for that. Still couldn't avoid that. And, oh, the pitching's good enough. We're not going to give up top prospects to go get a pitcher that's on the market. We're also not going to sign some of these guys, things that I agree with, right? You know, everybody was screaming for them to get Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell. I'm glad they didn't. But don't be surprised when in the middle of the season, Carlos Rodon reverts back to more of what he was last year. Luis Gil has some struggles, has to figure it out as a rookie. Guys like Marcus Stroman, you know, like the book gets out on you. All of these teams have scouts and coaches, and they have game plans, and they don't just go in saying, well, these are 27-time champs. They have ghosts in their ballpark. It's going to be a long day. No, it's quite the opposite. They basically like, if Judge and Soto don't beat us, we win. 888-808-1019. And then when you pair that with a Yankees team that's doing stare-offs during the national anthem, like, that's so corny. And I know people are making more of a big deal about it, but it's lumped into the whole fact that, like, you're not buttoned up. You're not running a tight ship. Guys are out there fooling around while you're losing. Guys are out there having a standoff, and it's not a good look. And they're putting you on ESPN. I saw Fireside Yankees said the Yankees are now 1-7 against the Red Sox. That's probably 1-8 now. 1-8 against the Red Sox on ESPN since the start of 2022. And as much as we try to downplay, oh, there's no real rivalry. Yes, there is to them. They show up to beat your ass. It matters to them and their fans. No matter what they do, they celebrate beating you. I posted that I was going on air today. I go back during this break to check my tweet, and I'm like, who's this random Red Sox fan posting Devers and all this stuff under it? Like, I care at this point. I watched them get swept by the Cincinnati Reds in their building. Come on, right? They haven't won a series. Like, the Red Sox beat them in Fenway. I didn't expect the Red Sox to come to town and not challenge them on these three games, so they got to figure it out. They got to get it together. And at any time they can. At any time they can win one game, win another game, sweep. You know, and you better get ready. You better get ready because Tampa has a good manager too. And even though they don't have their best team, even though they're not as strong as they've been in the past years where they've been a thorn in our sides, they know what their ballpark, their circus tent, trash can of field turns into when you're there. They know that you have spring training fans that live down there that are coming out to see you. And you know what? Most of those people probably bought their tickets before the Yankees had this slide. And the other people buying tickets now don't care about the Yankee slide. They're just going there because the Yankees are in town. So here we go. You got Tampa in front of you. You should sweep them. Find a way to sweep them. They're a fourth place team, but they'll be ready to punch you in the face. That's the whole thing. Get ready to fight. Don't step into the ring thinking your opponent is not going to swing at you. Get ready to spar. Every game, every inning, every out is a fight. And these guys look like they're not ready to compete. 888-808-1019. Aaron Boone has to be the one to change that. And then an extension of him, Aaron Judge, the captain, has to be the one to change that and hold people accountable. Don't just hold Marcus Stroman accountable for yelling into his glove and showing up a teammate who has needed to be tightened up for years. Like, that's my thing with Stroman. Stroman was wrong. He's got to be better, and I don't think you'll see that from him again. He was accountable, though. He went and checked in with everybody. He checked in with Gleyber Torres, with Judge, with Aaron Boone, and then he stood in front of his locker and took accountability with the media. There's no accountability for some of this nonsense, whether it's standing out there for the national anthem, playing in a game with the Reds, who you should be ready to fight and beat, or whether it's Volpe watching the play, not scoring, or Trent Grisham not being ready to field the ball, or DJ not hustling it all the way out, or not being able to pitch to close the game, or not being able to get run support for your young pitcher, running him back out there, pitching the Devers. Like, all of these things show that you're not ready. All of these things show that you got because you're not ready to compete. And I don't know when the wake-up's going to come, because it seems like this happens every year, but when are they going to stop the bleeding? When are they going to be accountable? When are they going to hold everybody to the standard of excellence that was set years before any of these guys got here? Right? I don't want to hear about the past, Yankees. I don't want to hear about how many World Series they won and what George would have done. Please give that a rest. It has been a long time since you had that core of Yankees that held everybody accountable. The trend with these Yankees is this, before we go back to the phones, because I have all this stuff clipped in my notes, right? I saw Neil Keefe. Shout out to Neil. I know he's a diehard Yankee fan. He says, Aaron Boone, August 20th, it's right in front of us. August 20th, 2022, it's right in front of us. July 15th, 2023, it's all right there in front of us. July 27th, 2024, it's all right there in front of us. Same song and dance. Seen this episode. Yankees analytic nerd says, under Aaron Boone, the Yankees' lows are very low and they drag on. In 2018, they started off 50-22, then they went 18-19. In 2020, they started off 16-6, then they went 5-15. In 2021, they started 28-19, then they went 23-28. In 2022, they went 61-23, then 18-31. In 2023, which obviously you can write that one off, they started 36-25, though, and before Judge ran into that wall, everyone was raving about how they beat the Dodgers. They went 26-43 after that, and here we are in 2024. It is a pattern. These things become habit. Men lie. Women lie. Numbers don't lie. They started off 49-21 and then go 6-16. What's the problem? Who are you mad at? Who's to blame for this? Nobody's getting fired. But I wouldn't mind seeing a player that's sitting too comfortable getting traded. I wouldn't mind seeing a guy getting pulled off the field, getting benched. right? I guess one was enough with Gleyber Torres having to sit a couple days. But in my heart of hearts, I feel like they only did that because he complained about his groin. Remember? If there's no groin and he's perfectly healthy and didn't have that to lean on is why he wasn't, then they, you know, they might not have given him the 2 days. But, man, there are a lot of people that care about this team. There are a lot of people that rep this team, and this is not good enough. Moose is in Jamaica. Moose, you're on the Fan.
Evening, Keith. What it do? What it is?
What?
You know, I'm going to try to break down, like, the problem and from the championship years in the young youth of our youth to where we are today, what we can do this year, and plans for the future to be a sustainable winner. All right, so Cassie needs to look in the mirror, because if you remember, you, by the way, you know the last team to repeat as a champion in MLB?
Of course.
Is us. 99-2000.
Nobody repeats anymore.
You have the Cleveland Guardians, who haven't won since they were the Indians, and brought up Larry Doby that nearly changed everything. So that's the last time they won. But getting back to it, right? You remember, since 2000, we brought in Jason Giambi, Rondell White, Kevin Brown, Johnny Damon and A-Rod, and they didn't pay off till 2009. The problem is we keep bringing in these established veterans, borderline all-stars or all-stars, whatever teams, they can't perform here. But beyond that, it's more about the mission statement. We are trying to win every single year while also trying to prepare for the future, develop prospects, make money, always be relevant, and always spend top dollar while also reinvesting in the farm system. Brian Cashman needs to look in the mirror. The whole entire organization needs to look in the mirror and do things a 2 billion% better. There's teams like the Orioles and the Astros who will take for nearly a decade to be having a sustainable product for a period of time so they do it again, because they can't either afford to re-sign their own players.
But you understand that can't happen here because of the fans. Because of the Fan.
Yes.
It would be loud. There is no tanking when you're the New York Yankees.
No, I'm not saying we should tank. I'm saying we have to work. Brian Cashman, the front office, the management, the coaching, the scouts, the staff, the development needs to work 2 billion% harder and better and smarter and faster, more efficient.
You know what's stopping them? They can't get over themselves. They can't look in the mirror.
They need to look in the mirror.
They can't. They can't, dude. Thanks for the call, Moose. Well, just go back to last year. 82-80 was the worst season most young Yankee fans have ever seen. There was a report that they were going to audit themselves to see what they were doing and the rest of Major League Baseball was doing. They were going to bring in a third-party organization to look through their operations from top to bottom, from the minors to the majors, and figure out what they were doing that other teams weren't so that they could get right. And instead, they just had a check your ego at the door meeting, where I'm sure only some people check their ego at the door of that meeting. But they had a check your ego at the door meeting where they decided we don't need an audit. We don't need to change anything. We have excuses for all of our shortcomings. Aaron Judge ran into the wall. No one knew that was going to happen. Team got derailed. No one knew that Josh Donaldson was going to fall off a cliff. We knew. Oh, Aaron Hicks. Aaron Hicks had a good offseason. We thought Aaron Hicks was going to. IKF. There were metrics that said he was one of the best defensive shortstops. Of course he was. Oh, couldn't do it here. The only way to change is to admit what you're currently doing is wrong and not working, and even step aside and admit if you can't get the job done, and they're not gonna do that. John is in Weehawken. John, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, KD, I love your show. I love been listening to you. Agree with what you're saying. And one addition that I got to make, you know, when we're talking about complacency and we're talking about, you know, attitude and transparency with the guy that, and we always hear about, you know, we always hear about Boone, we hear about Cashman, but you know who we never see and we never see on the field? Well, I remember a guy go running out onto the outfield and yanking Reggie Jackson off when they were great. I see some real, you know, some real compassion, and I don't see that from how, you know, it's got to be with how's and the players on all those Yankee teams, they feared George. They don't fear Hal at all. And so, you know, it's not just the manager, it's not just the GM and the coach, it's the owner. The owner's got to take more of a active participation into this team.
And with the GM, with the coach, with the, even as far as players, and even what's going on the field, and I'm not seeing that.
Thanks for the call, John. Anybody that mentions Billy Martin, I like can't even go into it. It's just not like it doesn't apply here. You're not getting anything out of anybody by showing them up. And obviously, if you know anything about the backstory with Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson, there was some history there, and there were some other things involved with that series in Fenway. And I mean, how many times I just saw MLB Now use the clip of that ball falling and Reggie not diving head first to stop it. I mean, they just showed it in, I forget which doc. I think I just went back and watched the Yankees versus Dodgers and Uncivilized War, and they showed, it doesn't apply. Right, Aaron Boone is not drinking every night. Aaron Boone doesn't have an ego. Aaron Boone isn't trying to look at a player like a Anthony Volpe or even a Trent Grisham. Who Trent Grisham versus Reggie Jackson? What they bring to the team? Like Trent Grisham, what is his batting average? Trent Grisham, like, why is he even here? He's barely here. But like, I mean, that's the guy you can show up. That's the guy you can pull out right then and there, and he didn't do it. So what I'm saying is, like, Aaron Boone is not the type where his ego is going to get in the way, where he's going to say, this is my opportunity to show the world who's boss. He's never going to do that. He'll do that with the home plate umpire. He's notorious for that. He's got the most ejections over his tenure. It's not even close. But when you want to throw Hal in there, like, he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. I'd rather him not be on Twitter like Steve Cohen, who some Mets fans are blaming, because on June 29th, he sent out a tweet, said, there's something special happening at Citi Field. The players have come together and are playing for each other. The atmosphere is electric. Let's keep this going. And since that faithful tweet went out, kind of feeling like, we're back, baby. We're doing what we got to do. They lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games. And fans are saying, it's Steve. It's the Grimace thing. It's the Oh My God song and performing. And we were playing ridiculous baseball, and now we're just returning to the mean. I'd rather how just kind of fall back, because anything he says is going to get misinterpreted. He's at the owner meetings talking to his peers, other owners, which, like, we talk about what Hal does or doesn't do. At least Hal pops up to say, yeah, we're going to make sure Aaron Judge is a Yankee. And the cherry on top is, you're the new captain. We need one. We need one. He'll pop out and say, oh, Gerrit Cole is available. What's the number? Yeah, get it done, Brian. That's your white whale. We need an ace, right? CeCe's time is done. We need and this guy grew up a Yankee fan. Yeah, bring him here. Juan Soto, yes, get the deal done, which I believe that Brian Cashman might not have done the Juan Soto deal if it wasn't for the, you know, Hal saying, hey, it's already gone too far, right? You guys remember the reports. It was saying Michael King was holding up the deal. I remember getting on the fan and saying, love Michael King, but there's no way in hell you stop a Juan Soto deal to keep Michael King. Obviously, we could use him now. But I think Hal Steinbrenner is like, no, you got to get this done. Coming off of 82-80, this is a move we can make without spending that much money right away. What's this guy going to cost this year? $31 million? We'll deal with the future later. You guys say Hal Steinbrenner doesn't show up. Why would he want to show up? To be booed? He's there. I know exactly where his suite is. But he's not trying to be on camera. He's not trying to pop out and hear what you guys have to say. He feels it. They know. They all know. But the next step is account. Ability. They gotta nip it in the bud. The next guy that doesn't hustle to first, the next guy that doesn't know a situation, the next guy that doesn't attack every ground ball and play with some effort like they want to be and want to be here, you're out of here. And the trade deadline's coming up. You can send guys anywhere that you feel like don't fit in that vibe, in that culture. They have to be accountable as players, as manager, general manager. Hal Steinbrenner, like, he doesn't take any at bats. He's not in the clubhouse. He's not on Twitter. And I'm not looking for him to speak, but if this continues and they lose this series to Tampa and then they go on and lose the next series, then Brian Cashman's got to step up and speak before the, you know, we're going into this long All-Star break, which is much needed. But Brian Cashman's got to pop out and say something about what's going on here and make the fan base feel at least like you're locked in and you're with us. Stay with us. Keep McPherson on the fan. This is KM to AM. It's about 8:45-ish. We're going to 12. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, thanks for holding. Thanks for waiting. About 2 hours down. Let's take one call here and have a quick little chat before the 9 o'clock break and update. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, back on The Fan, back from the holiday break and the trip that I took to Florida. Let's go right now to California and talk to Bill on The Fan. What's up, Billy? You got it.
Yeah, what's up, Keith?
You know, hanging out, rewatching a Yankees classic. Luis Gil, 14 Ks, is a Yankees classic already.
Sounds great. I just want to wonder, I have a question of, how do you get your notes together for the show?
It's through everywhere. It's a ongoing process. I'm on social media a ton, so if I see a Twitter or I see something on Twitter, I'm screenshotting it. If I see something on Instagram, I'm screenshotting it. I'm putting it right into my notes with a little note with my thought on it. I honestly always have too many notes, and I try to just, you know, read through my notes before the show so that I can speak freely on what I already think, but then I can go back to them when I'm like, all right, let's bring in something else that I didn't talk about, like the Yankees having fireworks night and George Costanza bobblehead night and ruining that with how they played on the field. But hopefully you enjoyed the giveaways and the pyrotechnics. But yes, it's an ongoing process of putting together different tweets and posts. And I also have a bunch of reporters that I have their post notifications, so I have that whole lane. I get Google alerts for each team where I can look through articles. And then I also have a young guy, shout out to Ben. I haven't even opened Ben's notes yet, but Ben asked me how he could get involved, how he could help me out. And I'm like, listen, man, if you can give me a one sheet of topics all around the sports world, that'll help me out as I focus on, obviously, our New York teams. Yeah, that's about it.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for answering my call.
Thanks for making it, Bill. Bill's like, all right, I got the juice now. All right, I got a podcast.
And he's coming for you.
He's like, he told me how he puts his show notes together, and now I'm going to work on my pod, and when they get Keith up out of here, I'm next in line. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know exactly how that works. You got to be a certain age. I don't know how old Bill is. He sounded young. Shout out to the young guys still rocking. For the young Mets fans, we will get more into some Mets conversation in the 9 o'clock hour. I just can't keep doing the Yankees. Like, it's just a back and forth and back and forth. The Yankee fans are mad at everybody. Nothing's going to change. We just got to wait till they get back on the field. But yeah, in this next hour, I'm going to lead with Mets. So if you want to talk Mets, call 888-808-1019. Let's complain about the Mets when I really don't feel like there's that much to complain about. Obviously, the record is what it is. But all in all, I feel like you're in a good spot for what you aim to do. KM to AM returns right after this.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.